What is that shirt?
This is my buddy's band. It's called Faded Lady.
Faded Lady. Based off of that logo, I would have been like, drunk lady or lady drinks bleach.
Oh, yeah, because it's all like white on the shirt.
Yeah. She got a big stain on that dress.
Yeah, they have, I think by the time this comes out, their single will be out.
Ooh.
They sent me all their songs, and this one was like, their single was my favorite one.
Very cool.
They didn't pick it because it was my favorite one.
Was it like a metal band or?
It's like punk mostly.
Cool.
You know, they're kind of all over the place, but in like a good way, you know?
That's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know you had friends.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right?
Loser, I got you.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Daniel, let's cut the shit. We got a lot to talk about
this
week.
We got a huge episode, Nathan.
Huge fucking episode. Let's cut the shit. We're getting right into it. Let's get some news.
Yeah, we got time codes in. First is the news. Let's talk about not MCU stuff first.
Okay, sure. Not even SDC, San Diego Comic-Con stuff, which just happened, but...
Okay.
You know Dave McKean? He does covers for the book that we're reading today and also like Arkham Asylum. He's apparently doing a project where he's using artificial intelligence-generated pictures.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to have a 96-page book of graphic shorts and stories created in 12 days.
That's cool.
Isn't that fucking crazy? That guy...
I'll buy it.
Always been doing crazy shit, and now he's like, this AI shit's pretty cool.
Yeah, let me just not
Let me just make a book with it. 96 pages in 12 days. Can you believe that?
I'm sure it'll just keep plugging in.
Available at the end of July.
Wow,
so apparently, like, pretty soon. Because that's, like, this month.
That is very, yeah.
At the time that this releases, it's out.
Yeah, it'll be out already.
What the fuck?
That's crazy.
Jesus.
Rick and Morty Season 6 coming September 4th.
That's fun. Okay. Yeah. Nice, nice.
John Wick trailer.
Saw that.
For March 23rd.
I didn't see it. I just saw that it was happening.
You know, there's a... You know,
what happened at the end of the last one?
He fell off a building. and he was pissed off.
Okay.
And I think he's betrayed. I think...
Two out of the three things happen in every movie, so...
Yeah, but... Yeah. When he's like, and I'm pissed off. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go.
Yeah.
I think it was because, like, that one short dude who plays Wednesday in American Gods, he, like, betrayed him or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that guy.
I think he's
like, the leader of, like, the whole assassin thing. Or, like, he's the one with the hotel,
the Continental,
right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, the guy from Hot Rod.
Yeah. The dad in Hot Rod.
Yeah, his best role.
Yeah, of course.
Real quick, sad news.
Oh, no.
Writer Alan Grant passed away at the age of... I thought it said 80, but they were talking about his work in the 80s. But so that's sad. People probably best know him from working with Norm Breyfogle on like Detective Comics and Batman. So like those were like... That was like the duo together.
Yeah.
And but he's also created villains like Mr. Zazz and Anarchy and the Ventriloquist.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about that. That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck a lot. So... But, it doesn't seem like it was anything other, like, not, it wasn't COVID.
Okay.
So that's good, I guess.
But, sure.
So yeah, rest in peace to him.
Did you see that the new Scott Snyder books came out on Comixology?
The new Scott Snyder books came out? Like the next wave of them?
I guess. Yeah, there's three new ones.
Yeah, there's like the one with Albuquerque, right? Or something like that. I know.
No, it's, I don't
there's
think so.
Dastardly and Dudley or something like that. They're like that was one of them, right?
I wrote it down. Hold on. Okay. It was Dudley Datsun and Dudley the Forever Datsun. Machine.
Okay.
There's Barnstormers and Canary.
Right. Okay.
But I don't know if you saw that. That's kind of news, I guess. I don't know. Mm. I thought they were all coming out in October.
That's what I thought too.
I guess he just has these like some summer books, and then maybe there'll be more in October. I don't know.
No idea.
Nathan, okay, got the
what's going on?
Gotham City Year One announced by Tom King and Phil Hester.
That's probably like my favorite announcement out of like the whole weekend.
Pretty big,
because I never like thought of them two together, but hearing them two together just makes so much sense.
You're like,
I fucking love Phil Hester so much. It's lovely.
What a great idea.
I know.
We got a Shazam trailer, Nathan.
I saw that.
Looks cool, I guess. I don't know.
Eminem in the background. That's pretty fun. It seems weird that they like reference Batflack in it. And he's like, I'm not Batman. Or he's like, I'm not a Superman or anything like that. And I was like, you've met like one of those two people. And one of them don't even exist in this universe anymore. So I don't know why we're referencing it, really.
Yeah.
So it seemed a little strange. But the whole Shazam, the Shazamly looks really cool.
Yeah.
So that's a fun one. I actually really like the first Shazam. So hopefully yeah, this one's good. Pretty good.
I just like am not excited about the second one. Like I'll watch
that.
It.
I feel that.
But I'm just like, yeah, okay. We knew about this for a long time.
It's probably good to just keep standards low so that when you go in, you'll just have a good time.
Like, there was nothing about the trailer that I was, like, surprised about.
I'm more hyped for Super Pets than I am for Shazam 2. So, if that tells you anything. More comic book things that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. The Human Target Book 9, I guess, cover was revealed. And, goddamn, Greg Smallwood's so good.
Nice. Is that the next one?
No, it's something
next
like...
Next one's 7, right?
Next one's 7, yeah.
Okay.
Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths was announced as a sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths. And they're like, that's right. This is the official sequel to the original Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I'm like, dude, you've had like 6 of those.
Yeah.
Like Infinite Crisis.
Identity Final Crisis.
Identity Crisis. Yeah, kind of. So that's going to be by
Is that
Joshua.
Different than Dark Crisis?
Dark Crisis is like what's going on right now.
Okay.
And then it's going to be Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I would love to talk to someone who likes events.
I'd like to talk to somebody that likes crises.
Yeah. Be like, oh, man.
So that
everything's going to go bad.
What's going to happen?
This
is going to be historical and change the trajectory of the DC universe. No.
If they rebooted it again, I'd be like, okay with that.
I think I probably would be too.
Be like, yeah, it's been a couple years.
We had a good run.
Sure.
Yeah, when was Rebirth? Like... 2016?
18? 18, I think.
No, I think it's 2016.
Damn.
So it's been a while.
It has been a minute.
Yeah, just reboot it. Who cares? Apparently, Batman Reptilian by Liam Sharp made an appearance on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's latest newsletter, and he's like, this is real good.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
It is 2016.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, because I remember it happened like when I first started college, which is... 2015, 2016.
I just remember being in college, but that's also when I started reading comics too. So I'm like, it could have been a span of like 4 years.
Yeah, I guess you did start like Rebirth. So you haven't had a reboot.
No, I read comics before Rebirth.
Oh, okay.
I remember watching that like live stream that DC did for Rebirth.
Oh yeah,
and they're talking about all that shit. Mm. I'd been reading like Scott Snyder's Batman.
Okay. The time. Yeah.
So I was like, who's gonna right, Batman now. It makes no sense. And I was like caught up on it and everything.
Yeah, that's funny. And you're like, who's this Tom King guy?
Tom King? Sounds what like a loser. No way he can like take the torch.
What else we got from San Diego?
Nathan.
Oh, another comic book thing.
It is Marvel news, but not Marvel Cinematic Universe news.
Is it comics?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So Avengers Assemble is coming from Jason Aaron and Brian Hitch.
What?
Yeah, it's like, I guess all the Avenger teams that are in like his Avenger run just going to all be in the same place.
What?
Like the current Avengers and then like the Avengers 1 million BC and then some other one.
Oh.
And there's also a 1 million BC Avengers book that's coming as well. And that's what I'm excited about. But
who's doing the art on that one?
I don't remember.
Wow, I can't believe I missed that.
Wow. Do you not follow any creators, Nathan?
I follow Jason Aaron, but he never uses it. And I follow Brian Hitch.
Do you live under a fucking rock?
Apparently I do. Another comic that's kind of interesting is Bruce Campbell is going to be writing a comic, and it's going to be called Sergeant Rock versus the Army of the Dead.
Love it. Love it.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it. Has he written comics before?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. I bet he has.
It's coming this September, apparently. So that's pretty soon.
I feel like he should be involved in every Evil Dead thing that ever comes out.
Even
like,
if he doesn't want to.
Like books, comics. That's his life, and he better stick to it.
Yeah. Even if he wants to branch off, no. Hold him at gunpoint. You're like, you write this comic about Sergeant Rock and the Army of the Dead.
You've been writing this franchise for 40 years.
You ain't going to stop now.
You better carry on.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Daniel, The Gold Goblin from Marvel.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's Green Goblin, but he's good now, so he's Gold Goblin.
Oh, he's a golden boy, is he?
He's a good boy now, and he's going to be like, but I was evil before. Am I still evil, maybe?
Okay.
No one cares.
I like the artwork for that. Like how it was like the reflection in like the building, and then it was just the Green Goblin in it.
But like the costume is just nothing to me.
It reminds me of like the Signal from Batman when even Duke was like got his suit or whatever.
It looks like just an AI generated just character for something, it feels like.
Yeah, that looks like the first go.
I know you haven't. I know you haven't played Warframe, but he just looks like someone just hit randomize on Warframe.
That sounds insulting.
Yeah. Hickman's coming back to Marvel. He's doing something. It's not announced yet. But he's.
What hasn't he done? So he's done Avengers.
It seems to be cosmic because the promo is like some stars, and then the words are, "What happens when the powers that be meet the natural order of things?"
So it's got to be like Eternals kind of stuff.
Eternals or like Celestial or
something. Guardians?
I don't think he would do Guardians.
It's got to be like just all Celestial stuff. Like there's no humans in this. No. It's just gods fighting gods.
Could be like, just something like that. So some, I don't know. What else we got?
I think that's all I got.
On the Gold Goblin thing, I just saw this tweet and someone was like, I feel nothing when I see this. I'm neither outraged nor intrigued. I look at this and I just think maybe I've lived too long or something. I still like new ideas because when I see them, I feel something. But this is not one of those things.
Oh man,
I'm like, that is the perfect way to explain that.
I hope I never get to a point in comics where I'm like, I feel nothing about this.
It's so funny, dude. Because it's just like, oh, maybe we'll like make the Green Goblin good or something. Call him the Gold Goblin. And it's just like, there's nothing there.
That's hilarious.
And I thought that tweet like summed it up perfectly.
That's so funny. All right, let's get into it.
No, a couple more things.
Shit.
DC announced a couple animated movies coming.
Oh, you know what? You're right. There is more news.
Legion of Superheroes. We already knew about that one. Brian Michael Bendis is writing it.
Legion of Superheroes? I thought he was already on that.
He is already on that, but they like announced it again, I guess. But other ones, Batman : The Doom That Came to Gotham, which I guess is a Mike Mignola written Elseworlds book with Batman. So that should be kind of cool. Looks like it's got Mr. Freeze in it. Ruby X Justice League, which is like an anime. And so they're doing like an animated movie now. And then Justice League War World, which I don't know much about. So those are some things announced.
Why can't we just like adapt things that are around already?
Yeah, I don't know. Other thing, Batman Gotham Knights Gilded City is a comic that's coming out. It's going to be a prequel to Gotham Knights, the video game. So this is how Batman dies.
A prequel and it's a game?
The game is Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
The prequel comic is Batman : Gotham Knights Gilded City.
Cool.
And that's going to be 6 issues. Probably pretty good. Also, Batman /Spawn is a 48-page one-shot that Greg Capullo and Todd McFarlane are doing. So that's pretty cool.
It's a one-shot what?
A one-shot Batman /Spawn crossover.
Oh, man. We need another one of those.
That should be... I mean, I don't think they really have that many. None recently.
It's just one and done kind of thing, in my opinion.
Jeff Lemire's Royal City will return next year at Image Comics.
We knew that already.
Did we?
Okay, yeah, it was like announced like a couple months ago, I think.
DC celebrates the 30th anniversary of the death of Superman.
Is that even news?
Yeah. Well, like they're coming back with the Superman...
A reprinting?
The Death of Superman 30th Anniversary Special.
Okay, gotcha.
And Dan Jurgens and Brett Breeding, the original people, are coming back for it. Daniel, everybody's been asking for it. Netflix's The Gray Man is going to have a universe.
Isn't there like a sequel and a spinoff series
There's
coming?
A sequel and a spinoff series, yes.
Love it. Did you watch that?
No.
Neither did I.
I don't want to, I heard it maybe
was,
I will.
I heard it was just whatever.
Okay, I think that's everything now.
We got the Eisner winners.
A winners.
A winners.
Uh-huh. Who are the winners?
Best continuing series is a tie, which I didn't know they could do.
Yeah,
Bitterroot and Something is Killing the Children.
Bitterroot won last year, I think. So, Mike, just give it to Something is Killing the Children.
Yeah. Best limited series, The Good Asian.
I've heard like a lot of good things about that.
That's always on this list. So I'm like, we should probably watch it or read it. Best new series, Nice House on the Lake.
It is very good.
James Tynion just raking in the Eisners, man.
Dude, he really is. I mean, he's good at what he does. So
definitely. I'm only like going over things that like are relevant to us, I guess. Best anthology called You Died, an anthology of the afterlife.
Okay.
That seems interesting. Best single issue, Wonder Woman Historia.
Oh, but The Good Asian, the for best limited series, beat out Beta Ray Bill, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, no. Bad take.
Yeah, bad take. Also, The Nice House on the Lake as best new series beat out The Human Target, which I'm not a fan of. What else we got? There's a couple other good ones. There's Best Humor Publication is Not All Robots by Mark Russell and Mike Diodato Jr.
Yeah, that's on Comixology Unlimited.
Is there
a I heard yet? It was good. Yeah.
We should read that.
Yeah.
Next week.
I put like all the okay, trades cool, like cool, on cool. a list. Best coloring, Matt Wilson, Nathan.
Let's go.
That's just, the boy. Best penciler, inker, Phil Jimenez.
Have you seen Phil Jimenez? He's like jacked.
I don't think so.
He's like, I guess a little bit older. Like he's got like a gray beard and stuff, but like he's jacked. And I think he's been doing comics for like a really long time.
Nice.
Best writer, James Tynion. Best writer, artist, Barry Windsor Smith. From doing Monsters from Fantagraphics, which I hear is pretty good.
That looked cool.
It does look cool. Best cover artist, Jen Bartel, beating out Julian Totino Tedesco and Alex Ross and Bruno Redondo for Nightwing. So,
Jen Bartel
is fucking good.
I just really root for
Julian Totino Tedesco, I guess. But
why do you like Tedesco?
Because of his covers. He did the Daredevil covers and he's doing those Walking Dead covers for like the colored versions. It's really good.
I don't know, man. It's so weird to me that someone other than Alex Ross wins, you know? Just because like, he's like painting it and stuff.
Alex Ross is great, but he hasn't done anything like career defining in like the last year, you know?
Sure.
So, I don't know. That's the way I look at it. Best webcomic is Lore Olympus. And I was like, okay.
The
one Sophia that Sophia likes, yeah.
That's crazy. Best digital comics, No Angels, Jeff Lemire.
Pretty good.
That's all right.
Yeah. That's the highlights, yep.
Cool, man. We love awards. That's our Oscars, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
So.
Michael Walsh was nominated for one of them for Silver Coin, and he didn't get that, which sucks, because I like that book a lot.
Was it like a best anthology series?
I think it was that, probably. Yeah.
Or maybe he could have got like a one-shot or something. But, all right. MCU news, Nathan.
Yeah, let's just do it real quick.
Charlie Cox is going to be in Spider-Man freshman year voice acting. That's cool.
That is fun.
I Am Groot trailer. It's going to be an anthology series, which is neat. There was a Quantumania trailer, but they didn't release it.
Same thing with Guardians.
And someone said that MODOK was like the villain in it.
I did hear that.
Which would be fun.
He does not have a big head, though.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
This better be the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It better be like the CGI wasn't done yet, and they're like, we couldn't make his head big yet. So
I can do that in like 4 seconds.
I know. Just click the corner box and drag.
That's exactly. All it takes. We got a She-Hulk trailer. She does a fourth wall break. Pretty cool.
Okay, love that.
Love
do
that.
You think it's going to be like a Deadpool fourth wall break, or is it like a...
I think it'll be like more subtle and...
Not like tasteful. I know I'm in a comic book movie or whatever, or show. I think, what's that show, Lizzie McGuire or whatever? I think it'll be like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I'm actually like unreasonably excited for She-Hulk for some reason.
Dude, I really think I'm going to like it too.
I think it's going to be sick.
Yeah.
Wakanda Forever trailer.
I saw that.
Look cool. Someone had to tell me about that. You know how embarrassing that is?
That's very embarrassing.
I know. Ooh, other news. Sorry, I skimmed over this. So there's a new Doctor Strange series called Fall Sunrise. It's going to be written and drawn by Trad Moore.
What?
Written and drawn by Trad Moore.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't I can't that believe fucking I missed that. Sick?
Yeah. You when? Fucking noob.
Wait, is there a cover?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me find it.
Dude, I need to see it. That guy is so fucking good.
Dude, can you imagine all that trippy shit?
Dude, yeah.
And like,
that's perfect.
Does he have a...
I hope they Instagram? Came to him and they were like, please do something for us. And he's like, I want Doctor Strange.
They're just like, help!
We need you, Treadmore.
Yeah, I knew you'd be excited about that.
Dude, that's so... Yeah, I'm very hyped for that. Apparently, there's also a Secret Invasion trailer as well, but none of this is, like, ready for the public, I guess. And I'm surprised that we haven't really seen it. I've seen some of, like, the Ant-Man trailer, but it wasn't, like, a full thing.
So that's the wraparound cover?
Oh, Lord. This looks like it's perfect.
It's going to be just like this.
Oh, my God. Look at him. He's got long hair. It looks
like just straight artwork.
It's just...
Like, that shit could be in a museum.
That's going to be one for the ages, for sure.
I know.
That's incredible.
You saw the preview art and stuff like that?
Oh, no, I didn't, but I'll wait until it comes out, because I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy 10 copies, Daniel.
Yeah, I can't remember what this is. I don't know if it's like... one of four, so it'll be a limited series.
That makes sense.
So, pretty sick.
Very cool.
They announced Daredevil Born Again. It'll be an 18-episode...
18.
Season.
I felt like it got... I felt like 13 was a lot.
It sure was.
And now it's going to be 18.
I think they're going to explain a lot. Like, just the differences in, like, the world, I guess. And then they're going to have a story.
Like, five episodes of, like, okay, so, like, before, like, okay, this was in this time, this was Netflix.
We don't
okay.
kill now.
Iron Fist, like, we didn't like him very much, so we just, like, booted him out, but we kept all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And it's going to be five episodes of them explaining how this fits in continuity.
Daredevil's... my favorite show just all time, so I'm very happy about like 18 more episodes.
That would be cool,
you know. Yeah. And
it's like pretty soon too, like spring 2024,
so like 2 years from now.
Oh wait, oh, we're in 2022, just kidding.
Yeah. pretty soon.
Yeah,
but yeah, that'd be cool. I thought Born Again they kind of covered like in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they're just like calling it that because
is that the one that we did? We yeah. read Born Again, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really early on.
Yeah.
Because Chip told us to.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. And, you know, stuff we already knew about, but just kind of got more of a timeline. And then Avengers will be, there'll be two Avengers movies in 1 year.
That's just sick.
Which seems like madness.
I think.
Especially if they're trying to just, like, top Endgame somehow.
Well, there's 1 year in between Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
So they're just like...
5 months.
Yeah. Let's have like... Yeah, just... It does seem a little bit crazy, I feel like.
It is crazy.
To just like work on one movie and then be like, okay, we're going to do the next one that comes out in 6 months, you know?
Because like those like they could be split up between like 4 years, you know? We're not like
Kang Dynasty and then Secret War. Yeah, it's not like a one.
Like they
one,
used two. To break up the phases by the Avengers movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not. You don't necessarily need to do that.
It makes sense though.
It does.
And so I feel like the Kang Dynasty is wraps up the Kang stuff, and then I don't know what happens in like the original Secret Wars.
It was originally meant to like sell toys and like do a bunch of different designs and stuff, which I guess this is all meant to sell toys.
Do you think they'll do a Hickman Secret Wars?
Probably. Like the original
Secret... They smash the Ultimate Earth and the 616 Earth
together.
And there's
a big thing that comes out of the ground. Remember that?
And Doom is God?
It probably will be something like that, yeah.
And then the Human Torch is the sun?
It's definitely going to be Hickman Secret Wars, because isn't Dr. Doom going to show up in like Ant-Man? And like Kang's going to be an Ant-Man? So, like, it's probably Dr. Doom taking over Kang, and then he's like, I'm God now.
And then there'll be, like, Fantastic Four before those.
But
so,
what I think that they're going to do to try and top Endgame is, like, get everybody together. But since it's, like, everybody together, they're going to get everybody, like, outside of, like, MCU Marvel to come in. Like, they're going to get, like, X-Men people probably, or, like, original Fantastic Four, get Chris Evans back maybe.
Oh, yeah, they didn't talk about X-Men at all.
Or, like, Daredevil, or, like, any Marvel property that's like existed in some form or another, like in live action, they're probably just gonna get them.
I'm gonna need to wear a diaper.
it'll be crazy, and then
I will shit myself. So that's crazy.
But like, yeah, because the original Secret Wars was just like this dude. I think it was like the Beyonder. He was the one that we read like the Illuminati. It was like,
and they just put everyone on Battle World, right?
Yeah, they like yoinked a bunch of heroes, put them on Battle World, and he's like, I want you guys to fight each other. And they're like, okay, I guess we're gonna fight each other.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man got the black suit, which ended up being Venom later, but it'll be something to that nature. So we'll see what that is. But
yeah, I was like pretty overwhelmed because I was just thinking about all the shit that's coming. But cool. Let's get into the book, shall we?
Let's do
unless
it.
You want to talk about more stuff.
I think that's everything. Thunderbolts, we already knew that. Ironheart, we already knew that. Agatha changed the name to Coven of Chaos.
What was that before?
House of Harkness.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I was like, are there two Agatha things now?
I was talking to my barber about that, and he's like, I don't think we need this. Like, I don't have any questions about, like, Agatha, you know? It seemed like she's kind of wrapped up pretty well in WandaVision.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about her. Of the things in, like, Phase 5, I care about that one, like, the least.
I just saw, what's her name? Like, that actress in, like, an Amazon commercial. She's, like, a mom buying, like, school supplies.
She's always a mom.
Yeah.
She's and in, so, like, Bad Moms.
So, yeah, and so I'm, like, not very scared of her, I guess, like, mm-hmm. villain-wise. But
Captain America movie as well.
Oh, yeah. New World Order. That'd be cool. That's a good name.
That is a good name. I'm like, what's going to happen there? Of all the things besides Avengers, what are you most excited about?
Daredevil? Yeah, if the MCU ended today and you could only get one of these things, what would you want? And why is it Agatha
Coven of Chaos? Dude, probably like Thunder. Mm. Probably, I don't know. Daredevil would be really cool to see. Probably Secret Invasion, I think, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that could potentially be the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm just kidding. No, I think that could be the best thing out of Phase 5 if they do it right. Because it's such a good idea to be like,
who's the fucking screw?
I know, and I love that.
I think it's so dumb.
The way they do it in the comic is very exciting to me. So
perhaps. I don't know. It's just like the fact that anyone could be one. And
it's fun.
It's just like a cop-out, I think, to explain bad behavior.
Maybe that's what they'll do, and if that's the case, I don't like it. But if they do it well, and like everybody's paranoid of everybody, like I think it's a really good idea.
It's like the MCU version of like, oh, but it is a clone this whole time, you know what I mean?
I don't think that they'll do that.
Yeah, perhaps.
Perhaps, maybe like one person, but that's it.
Okay, gotcha. So. I don't want Secret Wars because it seems fucking crazy. And the Secret Wars comic like blew my mind when I read it. So that'd be kind of cool if they did that, you know?
I was just like, I'm not smart enough for this.
Just skip to the end.
It was a Hickman book.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm like, I need to quit while I'm ahead. All right. The book this week, Nathan.
It's The Sandman.
Nathan, did you like The Sandman? Are you a sand fan?
I'm a somewhat sand fan, I think. I liked this more than I think I thought I would.
Same.
Especially, like, I was like, this is going to be way too, like, abstract and artsy for me to, like, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I definitely thought that after the first issue. But everything, like, after that, I'm like, okay, this is, like, fairly simple. Also, it, like, ties into the DC universe, which I forgot. Like, that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, I was a little...
like, John Constantine's in it, and, like, the JLA is in it, like, a little bit.
I think I almost would have preferred it if it was, like, separate.
I don't.
I mean, John Constantine makes sense because he was in Vertigo before DC.
Yeah.
But like the DC characters in this, I don't think they needed to be necessarily.
I like the ones that they picked.
Like they're not going to be in the show. It's not
like Batman's like, oh, let me help you find this ruby, you know?
Yeah, because I'm a detective.
Yeah, yeah. So like there's definitely like this isn't going to be a one-to-one like adaptation, which is probably, I mean, obviously, but it's a good thing. Right. But I think because they were in here, it helped me grab onto something a little bit and be like, okay, this is where this is what's going on. But yeah, the first like issue, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is going to take so long. Cause they did like a Dr. Manhattan thing almost where it's just like, they just jumped around like every page they jumped around like three times to like a different person or a different time or whatever.
I'm like, didn't you remember all this?
And like they name just random people that you don't need to know about. Like, by name, like first and last name, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta remember all these people now. Mm-hmm. And then they just like don't come up again, but they're meant to like contextualize what's going on in the universe because of something that happened. So
right
at first I was like, fuck, this is gonna be a drag and I'm gonna hate this, but by the end I was like, this was cool.
I was like, I wouldn't hate reading another volume of this, you know
it,
what I mean?
Like convinced me to like probably at least watch the first episode of the show.
I'm gonna watch it. I think the show looks great compared to, you know, this. Like, this isn't bad, but it is, like, of its time.
I also think Sam Keith carries a lot of this for me.
Sure.
He's the best. Or the Mike Dringenberg. He's also great. Because it's not Sam Keith the whole time, but he does, like, four issues or something.
Yeah, so I don't...
The art's, like, pretty incredible.
Pretty similar.
And, like, you know a book is, like, cool and, like, not cool, but, like, abstract art when like that the borders of like the page look like a frame.
Yeah.
Like a picture frame, and I'm like, this is high art, isn't it?
The lettering is really cool in this too. I thought it brought a lot of context as well. Mm-hmm. So this is like the 30th anniversary edition of mm-hmm. Preludes and Nocturnes.
Yep, the first 8 issues. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Two of which probably didn't really have to be in there. But we'll get into it.
I definitely don't need the diner issue.
Yeah.
What's the other one that you think?
I just think the one at the end, although it's like nice.
I thought that was like the best issue.
I think it was great, but by the time I was like done with issue 7, I'm like, okay, now what? And then it's just that I feel like that should be the beginning of the second trade, because it just like,
sure,
it just explains everything that happened. He was like, oh man, I was like trapped for a little bit, and then I got out and I had to like find these things, and I like met John Constantine, and that was crazy. And he was mm-hmm. just like saying everything that happened in the first trade, and I'm like, I know, I read the trade.
I was just here.
Yeah. But overall, I think I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
We were really dreading this one.
I really did not want to.
We're just like...
Because Neil Gaiman is such a novelist.
Totally.
And it's very apparent here, because there's things that are happening and he's explaining it. Like, I don't have eyes and I'm not like watching or reading or looking at Sam Keith's art. So
I can get through things like in the 90s, but even like before then, I'm like...
A lot of the 90s, I just
it's
hate
kind
going
of
back to.
Kind of brutal.
If I was born in the 90s, I would not be a comic book person.
Like, this would totally be written differently if, like, say, Neil Gaiman was just kind of helping with the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I agree.
I think this is, like, his first comic. I don't know. Because I think he went on to do other things.
I don't know.
But anyway.
So it's The Sandman, Preludes and Nocturnes. Neil Gaiman's a writer, Sam Keith. Mike Dringenberg, Malcolm Jones III are artists, Daniel Vozzo colorists, Todd Klein letterer, Dave McKean does some pretty sick-ass covers.
Oh, like the best.
He's like, I don't understand. He intimidates me.
Yeah. I imagine he's a scary person because of how scary his covers are.
And like, I can't even fathom how he does it, you know?
Like, who thinks of this? Who pictures this in their head?
How does he picture it, like... Like, okay, here's what I'm thinking. Like, what is he saying? Like, what is this process? I don't know.
All right, it's going to be yellow, okay? Hear me out.
Okay, here's a sweet picture. I'm going to scratch all over it.
and there's going to be flowers everywhere.
In the corner. So that guy, he's definitely a comic book treasure because he's just unbeatable, you know? But anyway, so issue one, it's 1916, and there's like a group of magic men, specifically a guy named Roderick Burgess. Burgess?
Yeah,
is that how you say that?
Burgess.
Okay. And he's just like wants to be immortal naturally. So he's like, I'm just going to try and capture death.
Yeah.
And so he does like this whole ritual thing in his basement. And instead of getting death, he gets the younger brother Dream, also known as Morpheus, also known as a hundred other names. Pretty much.
The Sandman. Also
the
known
Sandman.
As like...
The King of Dreams. Dream. Morpheus. That's most of them, I think.
There's like Lord Lazorl.
Is that for real?
Yeah, that's what Martian Manhunter calls him.
Oh, that's right.
Spoilers, Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. That, he was a pleasure to see, I think.
Yeah, I loved how he was drawn. Anyway, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So this first issue is 53 pages.
Yes, it's quite a lot. So I
got bored at page 16.
I definitely did too.
And went on my phone.
Especially, yeah.
And then at page 28, I went to look up a YouTube video for someone to explain to me the first issue.
Oh, wow.
I was like...
You became what we hate.
No, I was just like... I'm like... What's happening here?
I had to power through it for sure.
No, like, all the videos I found were just people just fucking like reading it to you like it was a bedtime story.
That's kind of nice. do they turn the comic around and they're like, you're in kindergarten?
No, it was like PDFs and shit.
Okay. So yeah, like it definitely is a very jarring start because
looking back, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
I definitely read it all, and then I went back and wrote down things, which I don't normally do, but I was like, I'm going to need to know what's important. So
you just had 16 hours
to
do this?
Yeah, so they capture Dream, and then there's like, Neil Gaiman just shows a bunch of different perspectives for like what happens in the world once Dream is captured. And so like a bunch of people like can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people that were currently sleeping can't get out of sleep. So there's someone that like sleeps, has a baby like in her sleep because she was like already pregnant and existing and like was asleep the whole time and stuff like that. So there's a lot of context that he builds around it that I didn't really care for. But I'm so glad that I know that her name is like Unity or whatever. But she never comes up again.
I think the context is good, just to kind of understand the scale of how bad him being locked up is.
Yeah, and you know that he's like for sure like a deity or whatever that they just captured.
I think there's like a horror movie where everyone just like can't sleep anymore.
I thought of that like idea. I'm like, that'd be a cool comic where no one sleeps and they just go crazy.
It's kind of like that Apple TV series like C with
Momoa.
Momoa, mm-hmm. where like no one can sleep, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's blind. So just taking away a sense is like very interesting.
It's such a cool idea. What if everybody's deaf?
What if all the men are gone?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway.
So they capture Dream. And he's got, like, this crown that he calls it his crown or his helm or something. And it looks a little funky. Looks a little kinky almost.
Have you seen Brightburn?
Yeah.
Reminds me of the Brightburn mask.
That's perfect, yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, I've seen this before, but I don't know when. But these guys that capture him, they're like, well, you're not death, but I guess maybe you might still be able to help us. So they just, like, keep him there for, like, 70 years.
Yeah.
They take his stuff, too. They take like three things with like trinkets or whatever that they sell for profit.
He's got a pouch.
He's got a gem called the Dreamstone, and he's got the helmet.
Yeah.
The Brightburn helmet.
I didn't really pick up that someone like stole those things and then like sold them and stuff.
I didn't either.
I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah.
Like, why is he important?
Yeah. Like this book is like almost better on a reread because you're like, okay, so this is all like what's happening, you know?
I think the show will play really well now that we know what happens.
It'll definitely, I hope, be better at telling us what we should pay attention to, you know? Because
yeah.
This whole 50 first pages, I was like just kind of powering through and I'm like, what's going on here? So yeah, he's trapped and he's being trapped for 70 years.
And he's so, naked. Like, he's, can you imagine naked? Being naked for 70 years?
That'd be weird.
That little cage that he's in, it's like a glass bubble.
Yeah.
It probably stinks, dude.
It's probably very stinky.
And then your
there.
Butt on like some glass, it gets all sweaty.
Yeah.
And your junk, you're just in there with your junk funk.
I would not want to be in there for 70 years, that's for sure.
Yeah, brutal. I don't know if the Sandman has a dick.
He probably does, but I don't think he stinks.
Or if his dick ever smells. Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably like this perfect guy or whatever. But so Roderick, the guy that traps him, eventually dies. And so he gives all the responsibility of keeping this guy trapped to his son, Alex. And but finally, one day, Dream escapes, and he gets revenge by sentencing Alex to eternal waking. Or maybe he's always asleep. It's not very clear.
It's where, like, he's...
Because that scene happens while Alex is asleep, and then he wakes up, but then it turns out he's not awake. It looks like he's asleep, so, like, I don't know what happened there.
I think, like, it always feels like you're waking up, but you're always asleep.
Okay.
Yeah, like... On the plane of us, he's mm-hmm. always asleep. But him, it feels like he's waking up and he just keeps waking up.
That's probably...
And there's like these nightmares that happen in between.
Yeah. You know? So when Morpheus gets out, people think that like Dream is dead. And they're like, well, maybe we should like check on him, right? And then he does like the pocket sand thing and he like gets into his eyes.
Yeah.
You're telling me that this dude was locked up for 70 years and never thought to just play dead? Because it seemed like he plays dead, and then after like 5 minutes, they're like, we should probably just like check on him, I guess.
Yeah.
And like, you'd think that he would at least try something like that.
Like in the first week.
Yeah, I know. That's what I would do in the first week. Be like, oh, I'm starving. You didn't know the deities could starve. Also, just Dream or Morpheus has like this real presence about him. Like when he's on the page.
I love seeing just his face.
I know.
And I really look forward to when he like talks.
He's so like angry looking and like introspective.
Mm-hmm.
But like the fact that his face is like so white and like his hair is so metal.
Like, I love his hair.
He's looking like he's part of Kiss, you know?
At the end, we'll look at the cameras in the thumbnail for the video. I'm just going to like Photoshop the hair on us.
That'd be good.
But
yeah, that's pretty much what happens. Like he gets trapped and then he escapes and he's like, I'm weak and I need to find my stuff.
The thing is like when I think of the Sandman, I don't think of like this design, you know? Just like Neil Gaiman really had to like, or Sam Keith really had to like kind of make up like what the Sandman in the DC universe would look like.
Yeah.
And so I think that adds a lot of creativity. It's not just some dude in pajamas or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
You remember the Sandman from like the Santa Claus 2?
Oh, he's just a dude in pajamas, right?
Yeah, he's always sleepy.
He's got that hat with like the ball in
there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's very emo looking. And yeah, like man. The way that Sam Keith draws like expression is so good, and he's really good at making like Morpheus seem just really off-putting, especially when he like goes to get Alex and put him into Eternal Wake or Sleep or whatever it is. It's really cool.
I thought they did really well with the casting too on this. Like they just got a guy with like a face that kind of looks the same. Have you seen the guy?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm like, that guy's only meant to play the Sandman. He cannot be in like a romantic comedy.
Yeah, you know? No, definitely not.
He's supposed to be just this emo dude who's brooding all the time.
Mm-hmm. So in issue two, Morpheus goes back to his home realm, which is the Dreaming, and we see like we meet the characters that live there, which is Cain, Abel, and Lucian, who's like the librarian there.
Lucian,
sure. And the Dreaming has deteriorated since he was trapped because he wasn't there to like, I don't know, do his thing. But there's a lot of like mystical things that happen, and these like side characters, I'm sure, become important a little bit later as he's like rebuilding the Dreamland or whatever. But and here, this is like really the only time we see them. But I like the idea of the Dreamland like a lot.
Yeah.
Because the way that they use it in this book is really cool, because he can like harness anything's like anybody or anything's dreams. Like we see him like tap into like a lizard's dream or like a snake's dream. There's one that like he taps into like a puppy's dream, and I'm like, this is all kind of cool concepts, you know?
Yeah.
Like it all the dreams kind of like point to the Dreamland. It feels like
something that I thought was like unreasonably funny is that like Cain and Abel, they're like fighting or whatever in this house. And they hear like a roar at the door, and one of the guys is like, "It's Gregory."
And is Gregory the dinosaur looking dude?
It's like a
dragon.
Dragon, yeah. Yeah. I thought like Gregory was like a human person. I'm like, why the fuck would that be Gregory?
What does Gregory do to be roaring all the time?
And then it's just this like happy dinosaur dragon thing.
I know.
And I just thought it was so funny.
It's just like goofy looking dinosaur.
Yeah, and it has Sandman because he like found him or something.
Yeah, there's also like a gargoyle or something that gets born. He looks really cute, but doesn't come up again. So, but Morpheus also wants to find the things that were taken from him when he was originally trapped, which is a pouch of sand, his crown, and then the ruby or the Dreamstone. So he goes to find his pouch of sand first, which is with John Constantine. Mm-hmm. But he uses like these witches. Or a witch that turns into three witches, and they tell him, like, kind of where each of these three things are. So, like, this issue is good because it's like, okay, this is what this book is about kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, but it's so weird to, like, see Justice League and, like, other recognizable characters in here because it's just, like, we're in the Dreamland, we're talking to witches, they're, like, stirring a pot or whatever, making a potion, and then it's like, oh, here's Green Lantern and Batman in the corner. So, I'm like, okay, cool.
But, and like this bright green and like royal blue,
yeah.
And shit. And
like this, they black, they black look book. Like comic book characters, which is kind of cool. But so yeah, the next three issues is basically just him on his journey to go get those things. So the first one is the pouch of sand, and we see John Constantine, who does a crossover this issue, and he helps Morpheus find the pouch, and it's found its way into the possession of Constantine's old girlfriend named Rachel, and Rachel like robbed his house and like took stuff while Constantine was like away. So he's like, she probably either has it or know who she sold it to.
They go to like her dad's house.
Yeah, but before that, I just like seeing Constantine. I think Constantine's a really fun character.
Oh yeah, he's the best.
And I like how he makes Morpheus change before they go out in like public.
Yeah, like, you can't wear that,
because like his normal like get up or his cloak or whatever is like super black, but on the bottom of it, it looks like it has like faces or like people that are currently dreaming or something. It's something really mystical. It looks
like the bottom of his shit is like on fire.
Yeah, but like, and some panels you can see like people's heads and stuff, and I'm like, are those people like dreaming or something? Is that some kind of like mystical shit? And then he turns it into like a black leather jacket, and I'm like, this is sick.
Yeah. That Sandman drip?
Yeah, that Sandman drip. So yeah, they go to Rachel's house or Rachel's dad's house or something, and they make their way through a bunch of like weird mystical rooms that like shouldn't be there. One of which is like the insides of Rachel's dad spread all over the walls,
but he's like still alive.
But he's like, is he still alive?
Yeah, they said that.
That's fucked up. And it like has these weird effects on John Constantine as they like sort of make their way through. But they find Rachel, who's been abusing it to sleep, and she's like barely alive. So Morpheus takes the pouch and then helps Rachel to just die peacefully in her sleep.
Yeah, she's like abusing it to like dream, like whatever she wants, which is cool because I don't always dream, you know?
Yeah, I like almost never dream, it feels like.
It's like 20% of the time,
probably. Yeah.
Like once a week, maybe.
But she's really into it. So yeah, she's like, I guess she's just been doing that for however many years.
And you're just malnourished if you're just sleeping all the time, yeah, shit like that.
She's like naked and a little droopy. She's got like...
A little saggy.
A little saggy, I guess. But she's also got like patches of like skin that are all fucked up. So I don't know like what this pouch has been doing to her. But
well, she's like a junkie before.
Oh, I guess that's true.
And so this is just another thing, you know? Another substance.
I don't understand how her house got all weird.
I think because like the bag was open or something. I think they explained it, but...
Because there's one room that's just like... A bunch of like green goblin looking things, and they're like, "Don't come here! Like you gotta leave."
Did you pick up that like, you know, when you said that Rachel robbed Constantine's house? He said, "Oh, she took everything," and then he mentioned like my Silver Surfers.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
Does that mean that he collected Silver Surfer comics or something? Or
I don't know. Is Silver Surfer like a normal thing that people have? I tried Googling
it. I don't know.
Like, what is a Silver Surfer? And it just comes up. I'm like,
is that like a lighter or something?
No idea. Like, maybe he does collect comics and they're just cool with name dropping Silver Surfer. But
maybe Marvel is just comics in the DC universe.
Maybe it means like a lighter. I don't know.
That, yeah. So, anyway.
So, he's got his bag of sand.
Yep.
His magical jar of dirt. Right. So, now he needs to find his crown. And so, he knows that it's with a demon in hell. So he goes in hell. So he goes to hell.
What the hell?
So he goes to hell, and it turns out there was like a civil war in hell that led to a change in leadership. So Lucifer now rules in partnership with like these other funky demons that are there. So Morpheus is like, someone stole my crown. I need it back.
No. Hold on. Try and pronounce them. The other.
I don't have them in front of me.
Okay.
What page is it on? Okay, so there's Azazel, Beelzebub, and then they call themselves the Triumvirate.
I didn't know that word, so good job. It's Azazel.
Azazel? Okay.
Yeah, so those...
Oh, and then there's one more. Hold on.
They were both in, like, Supernatural.
Oh, really?
Azazel's, like, the first, Azazel, like, big villain for, like, the first couple seasons.
Really? That's pretty fun.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, cool. I had to Google it. I'm like... I know that fucking name, you know, after like
does 15... he look like this?
No. These are creepy.
Yeah. These are really creepy.
I love Lucifer though. This is a cool design.
I thought it was a girl at first, but it is a really cool design.
It looks like fucking... Who's the singer?
Ed Sheeran.
No. David Bowie. Reminds me of David Bowie.
Oh, I see that for sure.
Okay, like,
I was like, who's the singer with red hair? And I'm like, are you talking about Ed Sheeran right now?
No. But yeah, the black wings are sick.
Oh, and yeah. Then, super cool. And then, like, Beelzebub is just, like, a mosquito or, like, a fly or something. I don't know what's going on here, but it's, like, a really funky design. And so, Morpheus is, like, one
this
of these...
This castle is pretty metal.
It is. Morpheus is, like, one of these demons stole my crown, but I don't know who it is. So, like, Lucifer is, like, oh, you don't know which one it is? Let me just get every single demon. Like, literally all of them. There's,
yeah,
like, billions of demons.
Just real quick.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, Etrigan... The demon does make an appearance, which is fun, but normally he like rhymes a lot.
Yeah.
And I think he does in this, but I couldn't figure out where the rhymes were.
Yeah.
It was really hard to read, but
I didn't even try.
I love Etrigan, like when he comes up in like comics, and like I think he's even been in like a DC animated movie at one point.
Probably.
And I was like, this is super fun.
He's probably in like Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So yeah, that's fun. The splash page with all the demons.
Insane.
Fucking unreal, right?
Yeah.
Like, these are all like uniquely designed, and they all don't even look close to each other.
Yeah.
And there's billions of these demons like on the page. It's pretty fucking unreal. I don't even know if this is Sam Keith. It looks like it would be something Sam Keith did, but it's pretty crazy. There's one that looks like a frog. Don't like that one.
Oh yeah. That's just a frog with popped out eyes.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that we got like a little insight into like hell politics.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, apparently there can be a civil war that happens, and they just like compromise with like, we'll just all lead.
Seems weird.
And Beelzebub has pretty fun dialogue. It's like very buzzy.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying to read.
I like reading shit like that though. But anyway, so all the demons are there, and so Morpheus uses his sand to single out the demon that has his crown, named Coronzon, something like that. And he's like, I got this crown fairly, and I haven't broken any laws, so you gotta fight me for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Morpheus agrees to this challenge, and they do this, like, game. And he wins, and he takes it back. But
it's like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or, like, D&D or something.
I really enjoy, like, made-up games.
Yeah.
This is the worst and stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're just trying to, like, top each other.
They're, like
the thing that they say.
Because, like, this demon's like, oh, I'm a dire wolf, prey stalking, lethal prowler. And then Morpheus is like, well, I'm a hunter. And it's like people in preschool trying to, like, play fight.
And he's like, and I'm then, a horsefly.
And it's like, yeah. And then he's like, well, you're a horsefly. I'm a spider then. And then it just like goes up. And then it's just like, well, I'm a fucking comet going to take out the fucking universe. Okay. I'm a star exploding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hope.
And then and he's just like, I don't know what to fucking say to that. And then he wins. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
I hope if they like do this in the show at some point, it makes any goddamn sense.
I feel like they might cut this out. I thought they were going to cut out the Dr. Destiny stuff. But no, they call him like John D or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like in the show too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because he's like a JLA villain apparently. So.
Yeah, I guess.
So I don't know. But yeah, that was like the dumbest thing I've ever seen, that stupid game. And he's like, I bested you.
Something I don't know if you'll understand, but like when this like whole game starts, in the background it says like Hellfire Club.
Yeah.
And that's like the shirt that the dude in Stranger Things has.
Yeah, that's like a thing.
That's like what they call their like D&D club.
That's fun.
You know? And so I'm like, and they're kind of playing D&D in here, you know? So I'm like.
And like recently in X-Men, they had like a Hellfire thing that just happened too. So I don't know like what
I'm Hellfire like, how's this all connected?
I don't know. Like I
asked Serena, like, what is the Hellfire Club so I don't look dumb?
Yeah, no, I picked up the same thing. I'm like, what is. And like in X-Men, they had like a Hellfire Gala.
I'm like, the show is based in like the 80s. So maybe they like. Read Sandman or something? I don't know.
They're big fans of Sandman?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're like, have you read this Vertigo comic?
That'd be deep cut.
Yeah, that would be.
But anyway, issue 5?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Morpheus just like takes the crown, he leaves, and then we see Dr. Destiny in Arkham Asylum. So we know that the next one's going to be pretty easy. But yeah, issue 5. So Dr. Destiny, he's like a JLA villain or something. He escapes from Arkham Asylum with the intention of recovering the ruby he's used previously to fight the JLA.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes a woman hostage and forces her to drive him to like the warehouse that the ruby's at.
And he passes by Scarecrow on the way out.
He does, yeah. So Scarecrow is in it, and I love this version of Scarecrow.
Yeah, he's good.
Because he's like fake hanging himself, and he just plans on like spooking the person that goes to check on him, which I think is so childish, but like really funny at the same time. But like, I love seeing like a version of Scarecrow that just like his gimmick is that he knows all the phobias.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, fear of water, like a hydrophobia or whatever.
Right.
And he like, will just like, it's a spelling bee.
Yeah. I'm like, it's cool to just see characters that, you know, have like kind of grown recently, yeah. Just kind of how they were back in the day, or mm-hmm. I guess Neil Gaiman's interpretation.
Yeah. And, you see like, I guess what this version or Sam Keith's version of Scarecrow is like kind of behind him
mm-hmm.
when we first see him. And I'm like, that looks cool as fuck. So we should read that Sam Keith Batman book.
It was cool that like, they show him like in Arkham, and then they just have like his like costume behind him to just kind of represent like, oh, this is who he's talking to right now.
In case you don't know who Jonathan Crane is, which is helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Dr. Destiny looks fucked.
He's so gross.
He's just like he looks like he's been dead for like years.
He's just like a raisin of a person.
It's really bad. So he doesn't know that like this ruby came from Morpheus, apparently.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a thing. But Morpheus figures the JLA is going to know where this ruby is. So he goes to Mr. Miracle and he like wakes him up from a dream.
Oh, there's like he has like a dream of like grand and goodness.
Yeah. And like, him
apocalypse,
which is so cool because it like, it changes to like a very Kirby style art.
Yeah, it was cool.
And it's just cool. And I'm like, is this Mr. Miracle? Cause it's like a bald dude. And I'm like,
yeah, you have like no clue.
He looks like the Watcher. So I'm like, who is this?
Yeah, that was really fun.
But we see him like dodging like traps and stuff, and he's just dreaming of like escaping apocalypse and whatnot. So it was really cool to see like Mr. Miracle in this. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, no.
And so he's like, I don't know, like the Ruby was in the satellite, but we don't have a satellite anymore. So it's, I don't know, let me take you to like Martian Manhunter. So they go to Martian Manhunter and he's like, okay, so all the stuff that was in that satellite's now just in a warehouse in Gotham. And so this Morpheus like, is like, I'll go there then.
This panel of like his face, just like shocked.
It's so good.
I love it. It's like, so good. That's awesome. That's it looks
like,
great.
It's probably like my favorite panel. Yeah, because like when he sees Morpheus, he like knows who that is to some capacity. And he, I don't know, he sees like a flaming skull of like Morpheus and he's like afraid of fire or whatever. So also apparently Martian Manhunter is a big fan of Oreos, which I think is a lot of fun. Yeah, because when Morpheus like leaves, he's like, that was weird. So
this is like the last thing that I would think would be like just put in like a Sandman book for Neil Gaiman.
And they're both in like blue robes. And like he's got slippers on. Like
he's like, yeah, you shouldn't be up right now.
This is my favorite part.
It's Hesse Morpheus.
I just love this so much. But yeah, so like Morpheus can travel through people's dreams to get to different places, I guess, which is what he does to get to this warehouse.
He also just like goes on a bus.
But it's like a bus in someone's dream to like travel to a different dream. I don't know like how it works. I don't think Neil Gaiman does either. But like, I think the idea is that like everybody's connected to the dreamland. So he's just going to people's physical locations through the dreamland and like tethering them there. But I don't know how he gets from like one person to the other.
So if you dream you're in Gotham, can he just like go in that person's dream and then he's in Gotham?
I think if you're dreaming in Gotham, that's how he eventually got there.
Oh, then it'd take like a second to get there.
I agree, but why does he have to hop into different people's dreams? Because there's one where he hops in like a dog's dream is dreaming about like a pirate ship. I don't think my dog knows what a pirate ship is, so I don't know why this dog does.
Tales of the Black Freighter, Nathan. He's obviously a big fan.
He's seen Watchmen.
Yeah, they read all the extra pages.
The director's cut. Yeah, so I don't know like how this all works. It's just supposed to be like everybody's dreams are connected to Dreamland. That's why he could be there. It doesn't really matter.
And then there's like this jack-o'-lantern character driving the bus.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if I looked into this enough, but I think Mark Hamill is voicing this. I guess they're just going to put this in there.
In the
show.
Sandman show.
Yeah, and then Mark Hamill's going to be in it.
Oh, fuck. I got to watch it more then.
Dude, watch it all. I think it'll be good.
Maybe. So yeah, Morpheus finds the Ruby in the warehouse in Gotham, but he's knocked out by it because of like some manipulations that Dr. Destiny made to it while he had it. And then Dr. Destiny makes it to the warehouse. He kills his driver and then takes the Ruby. And like throughout this issue, there was like a really interesting scenario where Dr. Destiny, clearly this fucking insane person, is talking to this girl that's driving him. And like you start to see like she gets some kind of like empathy for him and like gives him a coat. And she's like, you know, you're not all that bad. And then he like kills her at the end.
Yeah.
Which is tragic. But I was kind of rooting for her, you know?
Yeah.
I would like just, I don't know. I think the way that he did it was like really interesting. So
yeah, I mean, it so shows like how nuts this dude is.
Yeah,
which I think is good for context.
Mm-hmm. So issue six, this one's called 24 Hours, and basically it's just over the course of 24 hours, Dr. Destiny just unleashes terror on like these six people that are in a small town diner.
Just traps them in there.
Yeah, he traps them in there, and like using the Dreamstone, Destiny like distorts reality, and he like keeps messing with these people until they all just ultimately like kill each other or commit suicide. And that's basically all that happens in this issue.
Yeah, they just torture them and then they die.
Yeah, it's kind of like a one shot almost, like it, but the whole thing feels like a fever dream because it's like this dude in the corner and we're learning about like these random people that are in the in like the diner, and then he's like manipulating them, and one person like stabs herself in both of her eyes and stuff. So it's just like a bunch of like different scenarios like that that are kind of interesting to watch play out, but ultimately doesn't really like add much to the story, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
Other than to show how like evil this guy is and he's crazy, but I think I could pretty much pick that up from all the issues before.
Yeah.
But it was interesting how it was formatted, like because we see how things escalate every hour of like the 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that was kind of cool how they did that, but that's pretty much all that happens this issue. In this issue.
Yeah. I hope they cut that one. Or at least just make it be like a short scene.
Yeah. It'll probably be like a short scene. I don't think it'll be a full episode. But in issue seven, Morpheus finally faces off with Dr. Destiny for like the final thing that he wants, which is the Dreamstone. And the two of them fight across the dreaming which is like affecting people in the world that are like currently dreaming, apparently. Like they all start like freaking out and stuff. And like, I know Morpheus goes to the dreaming so that he feels like he has more power or whatever, but in hindsight, probably not a good idea. Because he's like, let me just take you to this, like the center of all this.
Mm-hmm.
So like if he lost, then everything's just fucked, apparently.
Yeah, and then he's already in like
a good spot. Yeah, he's just there, yeah. But Dr. Destiny gets the upper hand on Morpheus, and he's like, oh, I'm going to destroy this ruby thing right in front of you, and that should hurt you pretty good, won't it? And he destroys the ruby, but it ends up just giving all the power back to Morpheus. And so he stops Destiny and just puts him back on Arkham.
Yep.
That's pretty much the whole issue.
Yeah.
It is kind of nice that he like doesn't kill Destiny and he like puts him back in Arkham. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of weird because with the other two people, he just like killed them, I'm pretty sure. Because like Rachel he kills, but I think she was like weak.
Like originally John Constantine had the pouch.
Oh, true. You know,
so it's not like they killed John.
Oh, okay, that's fair. And then the demon I think died.
I think they just he just beat him in battle and then just moved on.
That could be what it is.
So anyway.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. I do like the battle. Like at one point when he like destroys it, all the background is like white, and I really like this one page where it's just Dr. Destiny walking around in like a void.
I thought it was a little difficult to picture in my head, I guess.
Like yeah.
The fluidity of it was a little jagged.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really do like this page though. Where like
yeah.
Morpheus is all big and he's like carrying him. Like there's a lot of really good
t-shirt.
Pages. He's got a sweet t-shirt.
Tucked it into his jeans.
Like a truly emo person.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Even on his day off.
Pretty fun. And yeah. That's pretty much like the end of the trade. But issue 8, Morpheus like is he's got like all the stuff back and he's like kind of moping around. He's like, I don't know what to do now. Because like I was trapped for 70 years.
He's feeding pigeons.
And then I wanted revenge and now I got revenge kind of. So I'm just going to feed some pigeons in a park. And then his sister, Death, comes up, which is a cool reveal because I don't think we knew that she was a girl.
No.
But that's pretty fun. And so Death is like, what the fuck, man? You should have called me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you were dead or still trapped or whatever. And you just like went on your own adventure. Just call me. And he's like, well.
You would think that like she would know because when Burgess died, like maybe she would know something about it. You know, when she goes to collect him or whatever.
I think that his son, though, was still having him trapped. And I don't think that she could do anything about it.
I guess. Maybe.
For, like, multiple years. Mm. I'm pretty sure. So, maybe that's why. Because Alex isn't dead. He's just forever asleep or forever awake or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, so, Dream's, like, kind of depressed. And so, he goes to catch up with Death. And he's looking for some inspiration. Basically, they just, like, I don't know. Death just is like talking to him and they're walking around and she's like killing people. And
she doesn't kill people, dude.
Well, she doesn't kill people. They are dying and then they show up in front of Death and she's like, you just died just then.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, man.
She's just working.
Yeah.
Got a couple appointments.
But I really like the idea of Dream just like being bored. So he goes to a park and feeds birds.
Yeah. Like I love all that shit.
Like this shit's like, really cool.
Where it's like all these like gods and stuff being like humanized and just doing like human things.
Mm-hmm.
like feeding some birds.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. Or they're just like casually sitting apart from each other like on the bench or this fountain. It's apparently a famous fountain and it has like some meaning. I just don't know what it is. Because I saw like a still of like basically this panel where he's feeding the birds and Death is like across from him, except on the show they're on a bench and people are like, this is fucked up. And I'm like calm
Ooh,
down,
who gives a shit?
Yeah, as long as he's feeding birds with bread, like that's
I will not miss it.
Yeah, so yeah, we see a bunch of people die, get greeted by Death.
I like the building artwork in this.
Is it good? I guess I didn't look at it.
Look at this one.
Well, that is good.
Yeah, very. I don't know if it's just like photocopying and just coloring or something, but
yeah, looks good. At one point Morpheus is like, why do people fear death? It's like just as common as birth. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, that kind of shows like that he's clearly like a deity or
yeah,
whatever,
he's very
and how disconnected he is from
yeah.
human experience.
Mm-hmm. And so like then at the end, Dream is like, maybe I should just do what I'm supposed to do. And then it ends. So that's pretty much like all that happens.
Yeah, dude. They go and visit people that are like about to die and they all like know who death is, you know? It's not like a
They're like, who
it's
are
not
you?
Like a Grim Reaper with like a scythe or anything.
Yeah.
But they just like, no. And the scene with like the violinist is like the sixth episode because they released like a clip from the show. So this is like the last issue of this trade and it's a sixth episode
of how the many? Show.
So they'll go past the trade a little bit.
Okay.
In this first season.
Interesting.
Which is cool. I want to be able to see like more, and then I guess if I'm intrigued enough, I can read more.
Yeah, because I think this would be interesting in like the next trade. I don't think I would ever read it unless I was like super hyped for the show.
I think now that everything's like established and we're kind of going through it, like
it's a lot more simple.
Yeah, now.
But yeah, that's pretty much the trade. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Dude, a baby just dies randomly. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I was like, that's fucking ballsy.
I was like, for them to ooh. Do.
Or like,
and then this kid comedian. Playing soccer, like just gets hit by a car.
He's so nice, too.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to hit up death. He's like, what up?
Yeah.
He's like Deadpool, basically.
Or like, he's like kicking a soccer ball with his friend and it like barrels towards Dream and he just like catches it without even looking. He's like, dude, that was fucking sick.
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens to Death. She catches it and he's like, dude, this is crazy. You guys are both doing this.
It's weird like when people die they see their own body and stuff. That seems creepy.
Well, like the guy with the soccer ball didn't even know he had died. He's like, oh, you guys are back.
Yeah, Death's like, and let me show you something real quick.
Which is a really funny scenario. I hope we see that in some form.
I think
like,
so.
It'd be really fun to see like Death interacting with people that have just died.
Just fucking palm this soccer ball real quick.
But yeah, Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Not really much, to be honest. There's an afterword by Neil Gaiman, which I didn't read. And then there's the biographies of each person.
Yeah.
And
like a little Sandman scribble, I guess. Maybe the biography or the afterword kind of explains where this kind of came from, like the OG design.
Could be, but I read too much, so I'm like, I don't want to read it.
This is already a lot of reading.
I was reading Dave McKean's stuff, though, and I'm like, oh, they'll probably put Arkham Asylum in here. And I didn't see that. But I'm pretty sure that he had done that before this, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. Arkham Asylum seems like something that would come after this.
I think it was also...
Cause like Watchmen,
I think the one that we
like...
read also was its 30th anniversary.
Okay.
So it was like pretty old.
So this first... one came out in what, 89?
So 1988 is when this came out.
This came out and Asylum came out in 89.
Oh, okay. So what was this after?
So maybe McKean got the Asylum job right after doing a bunch of covers, which is cool.
That is cool.
Because like, I feel like the reason why Watchmen was like so big is because it was like kind of like the first comic to be like this dark, you know? And then that just kind of started that like newer age of comics before it was just like Batman like running on a telephone or something.
Sure.
And so everything was like a little bit more lighthearted.
I think it was dark but also like deeply political in like that time, and it tied it in with superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that was something that, I mean, like, I guess comics always have been political
but it was done more
poignant in Watchmen, which is why it was so popular.
Okay.
And it was a much better, I guess, metaphor in that than like most comics. But yeah, I guess comics have always been political because like the first Captain America is him punching Hitler during the war. So
yeah, I don't know. Some people might not agree with that.
Yeah. Which is
not
crazy.
Not me. I love
Hitler. I love punching Hitler. Punch. Yeah. Yeah, I would punch him.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, that's the Back Matter. So Dana, what would you rate this book?
Nathan, I give it... I love it, but it's I love it on the beach where there's lots of sand.
Okay, I give it a like it.
Like it, really? Okay. I think after seeing like a trailer and just seeing some scenes and able to kind of like picture a lot of this stuff, I was able to read this like a little bit better. And I also had like a little bit of like Christian theology knowledge from like Supernatural and stuff like that kind of helped me piece a lot of this together.
Yeah.
So I love that shit, like with Hell and Lucifer and stuff like that. So
that's not typically my, I guess, vibe.
Sure.
A lot of the time. And I think that it was done well here, but Neil Gaiman is definitely a novelist and like just puts too much words. I'm just trying to look at pictures, man. And like,
not a words.
I'm glad that it wasn't as abstract as I thought it was going to be, because that would really like I don't know, make it not that enjoyable for me. I did end up liking this, so I give it a like it, but I'll give it graham cracker like crumbs because it'll look like sand.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I rate it.
Nice.
Like
nice.
I enjoy it. I probably won't go for more though. You know,
I can see myself reading more, but I guess it'd have to be a mood. Maybe after the show, I get like,
yeah,
a little stoked for more.
Exactly.
But anyway, let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box? What'd you get this week, Nathan?
Dude, I had a big week.
Really?
I've just been in the habit of just like not looking up what I'm getting, and then I walk in the shop and I'm like, oh, fuck. I forgot I'm reading that.
I forget things if I don't write it down.
Yeah, so I picked up Batman One Dark Night, number 3 by Jock.
Same.
That's that Black Label series. I love that a lot.
Which cover did you get?
Just the normal one. I didn't see any other one.
There's a Killer Croc one. It was pretty cool.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Was it by Jock?
I don't know.
That's really cool. No, I think it is Jock.
Yeah, it could be. Because he's like doing the whole thing.
That so is a really cool cover, though.
Yeah, isn't that sick?
Damn.
So I was like, I was going to get the other one, but I'm like, no, this is cool.
That one is cool. Yeah, I maybe would have picked that up even, but
it was right next to the other one.
Daniel, Superman Space Age or something is what it's called.
Yeah,
by Mark Russell and Mike Allred.
Superstar team.
Yeah, dude, I'm so excited for this. I didn't realize it was going to be that big.
I thought it was going to be just one issue, but it's like the
but prestige. Totally worth it. I'm like really excited for. No, I haven't read it yet. Oh. Did you?
No. I'm you like, said worth it, so.
It's going to be worth it. I already know. Like, I love Mark Russell, and like, you cannot go wrong with Mike Allred,
especially on like the space Superman book.
Yeah, Superman, but in space. Are you fucking kidding me?
Mike Allred, he's already.
I'm gonna wake up like Saturday morning, get some coffee, and just read this, and it's gonna be delightful.
Like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. Some other ones: World Finest number 5. I missed last week, so I picked that up. Batman Fortress number 3.
Yeah.
Chip Zdarsky's Public Domain number 2.
Yep.
Even though I've read it, I haven't like read it all together, so I'm quite enjoying that.
Yeah, I was reading it and I was like, I can't imagine this just 4 pages at a time.
It was weird, but I could understand it, but it's definitely all better together. And yeah, it is all together on his Substack.
Right.
I just haven't gone back and like read it all together. Sure. So I'm just like, I'll just support him and like buy this because it's cool to have too. Like, he's got some kick-ass covers for these.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked up Ant-Man number 1 by
Al Ewing
and Tom Riley, who's a banger artist.
I love Tom Riley. As soon as I saw him on this, I'm like, bye.
Dude, I almost bought it. I almost picked up 2 other number 1s too. And I was like, I can't. I'm not going to read it.
There was a lot of temptation out there. Did you read Ant-Man?
I haven't read anything.
Oh, okay.
That was new from this week. No.
I got most of those things, I think. And something I heard on a podcast is that Chip Zdarsky did an issue of Star Wars with who's that artist on Afterlife? James Liu or something?
Jason Liu.
Yeah, so Jason Liu is like a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah, he loves Star Wars, yeah.
And he co-wrote it with Chip Zdarsky and then Kevin Scott. No, this was like last year.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I heard about it. I'm like, where the fuck is that? And I just like couldn't find it on Comixology. And I just looked at the shop and there it was like Star Wars Adventures.
So you went like digging in like the back issues?
No, it was like on like the, you know, released last week. I just had to go back a couple.
Oh,
it was like an annual from 2021. So
cool.
Yeah, I still had it and I was really stoked. Got that. I haven't read it, but also went to Barnes & Noble. And I couldn't resist myself.
Dude, I love going to Barnes & Noble, looking at their trades.
They have a great trade selection. They
got good shit over there.
I was like, wow.
I want to be the guy that just chooses trades for Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, dude, being a buyer. I don't know. The guy that they got is pretty good.
Yeah, I like, dude, he like obviously reads comics and he's like, this is the good shit right here.
Yeah. You know? And then it's just totally like swallowed by the manga section.
Yeah,
the manga section's like 5 times bigger.
But I like going
and I'm just over here like, ooh.
I like going to the comic book section and be like, oh, this is a good Batman.
Ooh, that's that good Batman.
Yeah, or like they had like a bunch of Berserker there last time I was there.
Yeah,
the Berserker trade, and I was like,
they had a ton of Sandman stuff out. I'm like, these guys are smart,
they know their shit. So anyway, what did you pick up?
I got, there's like a Deadpool manga called Deadpool Samurai.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So They had the first trade there. Ash didn't have the first trade, so I got that. I read a couple issues while I was like waiting for something, or a couple pages, and it's like already like really good because it's just like the manga artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he's like in a cab. He's like, "That's a weird suit you got, sir." He's like, "Yeah, a lot of people got these where I'm from. I'm from Marvel." And like they're just like so blatant about just Deadpool, and he's talking about how he's in a manga and that's stuff funny. Like that. So it's a lot of fun.
I almost picked up the Ghost Cage trade.
The Ghost Cage.
Yeah, is it's that like a manga. It looks like a manga, but it's like the right way.
Okay.
Nick Dragota. I think I showed you like the first issue when it initially came out, but it was only three issues, like three oversized issues.
Okay.
I think it's called the Ghost Cage.
Image.
Image. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I've seen this.
I heard like a lot of good things. So eventually I do want to like
$6.
But it's like double size, I'm pretty sure. Okay. So anyway.
I also got Reckless, a hardcover.
Oh nice.
That's
gotta be a classic.
I got the Ghost in You, and after listening to like a podcast with Ed Brubaker, I didn't realize that it was like a series where it has like the same character. So the Ghost in You is like the fourth one, and Reckless is the first one.
Okay.
So I didn't realize that.
So they like gave it, each one has different names?
Yeah, but it's all like a Reckless book. They basically just did another criminal. So
aren't like all of their collaborations like Reckless books though?
Isn't that how they classify them? Like Pulp and All My Heroes Have Been Junkies are like, those are just OGNs.
Okay. But
the Reckless books, those are like a series.
Gotcha.
So
does it say like 1, 2, 3, 4 on the side? You just have to know.
I had to look it up.
Wow.
So that's not that bad, you know, because I don't think like a series of like books have like 1, 2, 3 on them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like fucking Harry Potter. Jack Reacher or whatever.
Or any of that true. Shit.
Yeah. So it's cool. So I went and got that one because Ash didn't have it. Because, like, I have this, like, mental list of, like, shit that Ash doesn't have, and I don't want to ask him for it, and I don't want to support Amazon. I'd rather support, like, a bookstore, not someone trying to colonize Mars.
It's fun finding shit, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm, like, always looking for lots of stuff.
That's one thing that, like, it does kind of suck, is just, like, I feel like I don't go on the hunt that much anymore.
I want to definitely go to more comic shops, and I know I haven't been to a lot of the ones in Arizona in a while. And then maybe just if I'm going to like Pittsburgh in like a couple weeks.
Are you?
Yeah, for a wedding.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I need to go to a comic shop there. Pittsburgh Comics.
Pitts Comics.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, so
Reckless. Yeah, that is one that I've always heard of and I know that I would enjoy. I just got to find the time to read it.
And then I'll buy the rest of them and read those. So pretty stoked. Did you read anything?
Yes, I read Jurassic League number 3.
Okay.
It was not the same artist that was on the first two, but pretty similar, but it was a
was it distracting or?
Yes, because the new guy has the energy of like the first guy. It's just a little bit messier or like scratchier with his art, and it made it a little bit harder to read.
It's pretty scratchy already.
I know, but it was like more scratchy, it felt like. So I didn't enjoy it as much, but the story is like still there. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
There's a Green Lanternosaurus.
Nice.
In one, so I'm like, okay, I got this.
I figured since they had the
Atrocitaurus or whatever.
Atrocitaurus.
Yeah. All the bad puns are so funny. I read Heroes Gallery, which is the number one that I just picked up out of the blue.
Rogues Gallery?
Sorry, Rogues Gallery. I wrote Heroes Gallery because I'm stupid.
How was that?
Such a meh book.
Really?
That sucks. I kind of like the idea, I guess, and like,
what's the idea?
I guess the idea is just not something I've seen before, but it's basically these people really enjoy this like certain superhero that has been adapted into a TV show, and they could tell that the TV show sold out and they've like kind of ruined the character almost by like making the show not as good, and they know that the showrunner or the director or something has like first appearance of like this character that they like named Red Rogue, and they're like, that's bullshit, okay, like she doesn't deserve that, and so they go to like rob her house.
Okay.
And there's very clearly like one of the characters is like a Snyder character, Snyder fan character. And like it's like a pretty solid commentary of like people that like comic book stuff.
Okay.
You know, and there's like good ones and there's bad ones. I just didn't think it was like that interesting. So I'm not going to pick it up. But I'm glad that I tried.
Sure. Yeah. You gotta always try new things.
You gotta, yeah.
Some of the best shit we'll ever read might be coming out right now. We just don't know it.
It could be. But I love a good cover that'll just like grab me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always try those out.
For sure.
Even if I don't know anything about it. And then I think I read more. I just didn't write it down. I can't remember. So
I read 8 Billion Genies number 3.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, pretty good. I like how there's like superheroes at the end.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you caught on. Like, this is a smart thing to do.
Yeah. And, like, the idea of, like, if someone dies and they wished somebody alive from their dream, then the person that they wished alive will be dead.
Yeah.
And there's that family where the mom was, like, wished back alive. And so I'm like, this is fucked.
Yeah.
That could be real bad. But I like where it's going. And I like that dude that just, like, left and, like, had that mech suit or whatever.
Yeah, he's cool.
That was cool. Oh, that's what I almost picked up this week is DC Mechs.
Oh, okay.
I was, like, pretty excited about that, but I was just like, I'm picking up too much already.
Yeah. I like didn't even have anything in my box and I still spent $40 somehow.
I spent $40.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
I know. It's too much.
Like, I guess they're still putting the boxes together and Drew was like just running through the stuff that was newly released. I'm like, no. He's like, I hate this place. I'm like, is that a book or he's like, book, yeah, man. It's a book. I'm like, okay, yeah. I don't think I have anything in my box, actually. And you're like, okay. But I still came.
Yeah.
So I read Public Domain 2. Good stuff. Love it. Mm-hmm. I read Ant-Man number 1, which is cool, but it does a thing where it goes back in time for most of it, and it reads like it was in the 80s.
So it's bad.
So it's got a lot of thought bubbles in caption boxes or whatever.
How's Tom Riley?
So good.
Oh, dude,
God. He's so good. It felt like, I'm like, do they just reprint something? Because that's how, like, good and, like, retro his shit looks.
That's cool.
And so, anyway.
Yeah, I love that guy.
The cover will decide if I buy number 2, okay?
Dude, banger covers. I've seen all of them already.
Really?
Yeah.
I got the Scotty Young cover on the number 1.
Oh,
I'm weak.
You just like, look at this baby character, and you're like, I buy this.
Oh, it's Ant-Man, and he ate a sandwich. He's full now. Did you see it?
I need to now. I can't believe you got Scotty Young clickbaited again. Works every time.
I'll do it for the rest of my life.
So the burger isn't tiny. It's just a big burger.
Ant-Man's small.
That's a good cover. Okay, I understand.
I'm like, because I always flip through the variants, and then
I like the ones that he does where it's like the baby characters, and there's it's like a speech bubble like cover.
Oh yeah,
I love those because he's always writing a joke in them, and I'm like, that's a good joke. I'm gonna buy this cover.
Right. So I read that. You'll read it, and then I read all the new Snyder stuff, Scott Snyder stuff. And Dudley Datson ended cool, but. And that is kind of wordy.
There's the one where kids are under desks and a nuke goes off.
Nope.
No, not that one. Is the one with Dan Panosian out?
So there's Barnstormers. It's about this pilot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wasn't really super interested in that one when it was announced.
I read it anyway. I guess it's kind of interesting, but I don't think I'll keep reading it. And then who did this one?
What was it called?
Canary. Yeah, Panosian.
Yeah, isn't he great?
That's the best one, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's a great artist.
Yeah, and it's like it's good writing, too. Cool. It's like a Western, but it's also like about a detective in the Western times solving like
Western
these
murders.
Like demonic murder things.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, this is fucking good.
Well, that's very fun.
Wait, what has Panosian done?
I couldn't name anything off the top of my head.
But you just know his artwork?
I just know him, yeah. Okay, he's just that. It's like Tom Riley. Like, I think I've read stuff by him. I just love him.
He was just on The Thing.
Yeah.
And so that looked good.
That did look good.
Just because of his artwork. Yeah. And I think Al Ewing wrote that too. So
okay, maybe.
I'm not sure though. And I follow him. I just love seeing his shit.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing with Dan Panosian. I just follow him and he's great. So
yeah, no, good stuff.
Cool, cool.
So I'll definitely keep reading Canary and then maybe another Dudley Datsun issue. But anyway, did you watch anything?
I finished Solar Opposites.
Oh, I haven't, but good stuff.
Dude, can I like, no, I won't.
Okay, good. I'll try and it's just, knock some out.
They did something and I'm like, it's like they made this for me.
So, okay, I'll keep a lookout.
So, and you'll know exactly what it is. But yeah, anyway, it's pretty fun.
And then
I was watching more Umbrella Academy and I was watching more One Punch Man. Finished season one.
Oh, cool.
Going through that some more with Sophia. It's our 20-minute show. We have like a 20-minute show and then like a 1-hour show, you know?
Sarah just likes watching 1-hour shows for like 8 hours at a time.
I just love 20-minute shows.
They're like, the best. You just crank through.
I'll watch 100 of them in a row, but I don't want to watch one 1-hour show.
So you'd love anime.
Yeah, I know. But Umbrella Academy's, I'm like halfway through episode 5, something came up, I had to stop. But while I was watching episode 4, I was like, I don't know if I like the show anymore. And then it ended, and I was like, I'm right back in, baby. There's like 6 twists that happen all at once, and I was like, oh my God.
And why did they spread this out?
Dude, it was so good. I was like, fuck, this show's good, man. Yeah. And so I'm into it again. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
We watched this scary movie called Countdown.
Okay.
It's about... you know Tom Segura?
Mm-hmm.
So he's in it. And that's so fun. That's slightly why we watched it. He's like this like tech guy.
Oh, I've seen that clip.
You've seen that clip? Yeah, it's mm-hmm. from that. So like there's this app that's trending where you download it and it tells you when you're going to die.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And some of them say like 3 hours and stuff. And if you like, you have to accept like the terms and conditions. And if you use the information, like the time that you're going to die to try and save yourself from dying, you're violating the terms and conditions. And like this like demon thing comes after you.
Cool.
The demon thing is actually really cool design, but the movie sucked.
Oh, okay.
It was like fine. I wasn't scared by anything. It was more funny because like Tom Segura is in it and he's awesome. Like he's like the best part. If I ever see him in person, he'd be like, I loved you in Countdown. But as we're watching this movie, I like go to the app store and see if it's like a real app. I'm like, Sarah, it's a real app. She's like, don't download that.
Oh my God.
I'm like, come on.
Download it right now.
Live on the pod?
Live on the pod. If it says 5 minutes.
you do it too.
No.
Why not?
Because I haven't seen the movie.
Dude, it's...
I don't want to.
They fix it, dude. Everything's fine. It's a happy ending. You watched... What's it called? You?
Yeah.
The first season?
Yeah.
The girl that's in the first season, she's like the main character.
Okay.
Countdown app. It looks like that. It's got the like horns in it.
Okay, I'll download it later.
Dude, download it now. It'd be fun.
Fuck.
Don't be a pussy. Pussies are very strong. Don't be a wuss.
I'm going to tell Sophie about this. Tell her I downloaded it. And then she's
like, babe, it's just 3 days.
And then she's going to get mad at me and I'm going to be like, babe, they don't know balls to me.
No balls. Okay, let's see here.
I can't believe that's such a good idea to like make this. It's like a marketing thing.
Oh, shit. I have 8 years, 76 days, 3 hours, 1 minute, and 28 seconds.
Wow.
And then I got an ad.
Did you accept the terms and conditions?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
So what? I'm going to be 34?
That's a good run.
That's a good... That's when I want to die. So perfect.
That's what I plan.
So how many... Wait, hold on. How many episodes is this?
52 a year.
Hey, I need a calculator.
8 years. We're going to be well into 500 episodes.
Perfect.
So
we got to beat Joe Rogan, though.
True. We won't. Unless we do multiple a week.
Yeah, I'm going to screenshot this just for future reference. Where's my fucking calculator?
You don't have any. Do I add a countdown?
What the hell? Just take a picture?
Wait. What does it look like when you open the app?
Looks like that.
Did you get this?
Dude, you got the wrong one.
How did I get the wrong app?
I don't know.
This is days until countdown.
It's got, you got this one with the little bowl on it?
Oh no, I downloaded the wrong app.
Oh my God. You're doing like a countdown for like Christmas and shit.
When's Christmas? Damn it. Okay, yeah, let me download the right one.
So 73 days, that's like 10 episodes. Then 8 times 52. equals and plus 10. So 426 episodes.
Yeah, so when we're on 122 right now.
So we'll be at like 540.
No podcast should ever go past 500. So yeah, we're good.
You want to stop at 500?
That'll be it. We'll read all of Amazing Spider-Man and then that's it.
You want to stop when we're like 33? Like a bunch of losers? You don't want to be a 50-year-old podcaster?
I do kind of want to be a 50-year-old podcaster.
Oh, no, dude. I kind of worry that we'll run out of stuff eventually.
We won't.
But we won't, you know?
I'll just go until it's not fun anymore, but I'm having fun.
Hey, I'm having a good time. All right, I'm going to... This thing's kind of creeped me out because it keeps like flashing for no reason. Do you see that?
No, but I have 2 years and 111 days.
Why are you flashing? You're flashing too, see? You have 2 years.
Yeah, I got 2 years.
No!
How many episodes 20? Is 2 years and... Yeah,
I'm You're 25?
No, I'm 24.
Oh, Dick. Really? Oh,
sorry. You're 26. Six. Yeah, it is flashing.
I don't like how it's flashing.
So 2 years and 111 days. How many episodes is that?
That's a lot of math. So I'm going to need to get a new host, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've wasted enough time with this. Remove app.
So we got 120 more episodes.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's like a good run.
A little over 200?
Yeah. Anyway, that was a dumb bit. What are we... is that everything? What do we read next week?
All right, Nathan. It's finally time for us to read a group book.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
When does group come out?
August 10th.
Dude, that's so soon. I haven't even seen a trailer. Is there a trailer out?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, group book. Scotty Young did one, didn't he?
He sure did, but Declan Shelby also did one.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Scotty Young also did one, though. It was Rocket Raccoon and Group.
Did he do the art on that one? Who? I know he did the covers, Scotty.
Let me see.
If Scotty does art, we read that, I think. My phone's about to die, so I can't look it up right now.
Oh, my God.
You made me download the app, and I was already at 5%. So now I'm at 3%. I don't... Oh, there's a Rocket Raccoon and then Rocket and Groot.
So we need something that has Groot in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, fuck, dude, nothing is helpful.
This new app sucks. Yeah,
so 2016.
I don't think that he does the art, but God, he made some pretty cool covers.
I think it's...
We should do Groot.
Andrade?
Felipe Andrade, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We should just do Groot. Jeff Loveness and Declan Shelby.
Okay.
That's 5 stars. Whereas Rocket and Groot is like 4.7 stars.
Yeah. We don't want that weak shit. We want. Yeah. So Jeff Loveness, Declan Shelby. There's also a book that came out a couple years ago that's called I Am Groot.
Nah.
By Christopher Hastings. That shit sucked though.
Or, it does.
I didn't like it. Like it was just like whatever.
At least you tried.
Like I don't love Baby Groot. I don't want any more Baby Groot.
Yeah, I think that time is done.
So this looks cool to me.
It's just Groot, right?
Yeah, just Groot.
And that's the trade?
Perfect.
Like. Sweet, let's do that.
136 pages.
Lovely.
That's like half of Sandman.
That's like half of this shit.
Thank God. Gonna blow through this in like one sitting.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. Everything on the link tree.
Everything on the YouTube.
Follow, subscribe.
Do all that stuff.
Like, comment.
Later.
Bye.